Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
I am Sid Vicious. This is WKR Sunday Night, the greatest wrestling talk show of all time.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WKR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
I realize you're currently at the mercy of your primitive biological urges, but as you have an entire lifetime of poor decisions ahead of you, may I interrupt this one?
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I'm a fan of anything that tries to replace actual human contact.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Well, if it isn't Will Wheaton, the Jar Jar Binks of the Star Trek universe.
Omega.
Oh, I'm a vegetarian. Except for fish and the occasional steak. I love steak.
Mace.
The appropriate ranking of cool modes of transportation is jetpack, hoverboard, transporter, Batmobile, and then giant ant.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Don't you think I should answer the engineering questions? I am an engineer.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Joe. I'm in five halls of fame. I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't you dig that? Sucker!
Welcome to the panic room.
Welcome, everybody, to the Panic Room, a.k.a. Wrestle Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We will be joined by the one, the only, the end-all, be-all, the Omega at some point. But joining me right now is the one, the only, the Mace.
Yes, I am here for yet another week of wrestling that I really don't give a shit about anymore.
As well, the one and only, Tim Stein.
Yes, I am here, and I am staring at a tablet that won't smarten the hell up. Because it's stupid! Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much for joining us. Those of you who aren't quite 100% familiar with all of the stuff we do, yeah, we talk wrestling, but when we get bored, we talk about whatever the hell we want. Mace, what do you want to talk about?
To be honest, I'm not really in talkative mood at the moment. I'm busy. I've got the Penny Arcade Expo Australia coming up in 2 weeks, so I'm trying to go crazy getting interviews and booth tours all set up and just busy. And at the moment, it's like, yeah, if I get a moment to sort of let my brain cool down, it just goes, yeah, I'm going to go shut off for a couple of hours.
Well, I'll just do what I do, make some homemade nachos and salsa, and then, you know, go to town while you watch Walking Dead. That's what my plans are tonight after the webcast.
Yeah, except I don't have nachos.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'd send you some of mine, but it would be really expensive, and they'd probably be all, like, into crumbs by the time you got them.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But they're good. Oh, I'm just going to throw a wrench at you. Figuratively speaking, of course, not literally. I would never throw things at you unless, you know, it was a part of a gimmick. Live action Johnny Bravo movie. I want to know who you would pick to play Johnny Bravo.
No. No.
No?
No.
You don't want to play?
No. It's one of those things of that's a character that, well, let's face it, would never work in today's current societal structure. But at the same time, the type of guy that you'd need for that thing is you'd need you need somebody very built, very jacked, but also can come across as dumb as a stack of bricks.
Well, I think that you just basically described the perfect character or the perfect actor. Former pro wrestler turned major motion picture star, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, hell no. No. Sorry, no.
Come on, it was funny. I wasn't being serious.
Sheesh.
But,
no, yeah. I just find, like, a Johnny Bravo movie would have worked in the 90s.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
because,
oh, yeah,
you know, we were getting away with that type of thing, or else, we wouldn't have had the Johnny Bravo cartoon.
Yep.
But today, no, you couldn't even begin to fathom such a movie.
Yeah.
You know, let alone somebody who's got to have the right build for it. Like, they got to be jacked. Like, you need somebody who has the body of The Rock, but not The Rock, because he's still in that vein of the Hollywood pretty boy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Johnny Bravo was just like one of those idiots at the gym who works out all the time and thinks they're the pretty boy.
Well,
that was the whole thing about the character. Yeah. So, yeah.
Besides, the Rock's too tall.
Well, depends. The height doesn't really mean shit these days, you know. Unless the character specifically calls to be a midget.
Uh-huh.
They don't give a shit.
Oh, you're not supposed to say midget. You're supposed to say little person. But I don't know. I find the term little person.
No. I have friends that are midgets, and when I call them a little person, they say, fuck off, call me a midget.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I just find little person to be more insulting.
We had the midget porn star on CB Radio a few months back. They want to be called midget. They want to be called a midget. So.
A midget porn star.
Yeah, we did. We had a midget porn star. Go to cbradiolive.com. You can hear the archive. It was for it was for Subway's birthday last year.
Well, there you go. You gave Subway a birthday present.
Yeah, we did. We gave him a midget.
Anybody who's of diminutive stature listening in and finding the term midget offensive, I'd like to take this time to apologize, but I'm not going to.
If you do, find an offensive email admin@wildtalkradio.com.
No. Email media@wildtalkradio.com.
And those emails will be forwarded to admin@wildtalkradio.com.
And forwarded right back to media@wildtalkradio.com.
And then we'll send them to King Kins and he'll do something with them.
I'm not even going there. Forget it. Never mind. Why don't we just dive right into our win and our fail for the week, starting with, I don't know. Let's change things up. Mace, what's your win for the week?
Gee, shit. You might have to come back to me. I'm not quite ready. No. I've got something. And to be honest, it's probably the only decent thing I could find out of Raw this week.
Yeah.
And that was Cena congratulating the couple on getting engaged in the middle of his match with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Like you go back and you watch it, and you can hear the crowd starting chanting, "Chet, yes, for no reason." Cena's got Ziggler in an arm lock, and he has no idea what's going on. You can see it on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He turns around, and he sees the sign. Then you see him look down at Ziggler and go, "Bail." Ziggler bails.
Because I think he said something to one of the producers, or ring guys around the ring and find out what's going on. I think that's how he found out more before they said bail.
Yeah, but like Ziggler bails on the outside of the ring. Cena grabs the mic, congratulates the couple, which of course gets more of a yes chant going. And then all of a sudden, in the vein of the New Day, we got "She said yes, she said yes," and I'm laughing my ass off. And of course, Ziggler comes back in, then capitalizes on Cena being distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap, some sort of psychology out of an impromptu thing. What a shock.
Okay, that's a good one for the week. My one was actually out of everything that happened on Raw, SmackDown, standard stuff that normally goes on, news, everything. The actual match between Cena and Ziggler. And I'm just getting the feeling that come Hell in a Cell, these two are going to wind up scoring off against each other.
That
and
is a possibility. On good matches, so why not? Yeah,
I got no problem with that because I get the feeling that that happens. Then we're going to see Ziggler with the U.S. title. Because
that worked out so well last time.
Well, they're going to do something because they're not going to keep it on Cena for 3 months while he's not around.
They could. It is Cena, after all. He is immune from all rules and regulations.
Well, that would just be silly.
That would be WWE.
That's true. So, anyway, yeah, no, I find the match entertaining. I'm sure we'll probably get some kind of a rematch or something going on between the two of them tomorrow. If there's no match itself, or if it's not a completed match, that'll probably be the setup for the Hell in a Cell match. So, and I can see that happening. But, like you said, we'll just have to more or less wait and see, I suppose. So, yeah. What's your fail?
Pretty much everything else. This was one of those weeks where I had a really hard time finding anything to really get excited about in wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's I'm just burnt out on the product. I don't know whether it's I'm just burnt out on the matchups. Or maybe it's just that time of year where I've got so many other things on my plate that wrestling is just an extremely low priority.
Uh-huh.
Like, I sat down last week and watched Raw live for the first time in over a month. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like such a drag. It just felt like it just went on and on and on for no reason. And it annoyed me that I couldn't pick up my remote and fast forward through the crap I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know what's going on. It could also be that we've entered that time of year where, you know, we've had SummerSlam. We're not quite ready to start building for the Rumble, which they'll start, you know, maybe the last week of December or early January.
Yeah.
It just seems like we're in such a low point that it's hard to sort of really get excited for what we're seeing. So, yeah, that was my fail, pretty much.
Okay. Well, I can understand that, yeah. It's just, you know, they're reporting new record low figures, you know, viewing audience for Raw again this last week. And, you know, the show just – it really just – nothing memorable. Nothing pulled me in at all, really. If I really have to just narrow it down to one thing, it's Roman Reigns' promo. Dude should never be given a microphone.
I'll agree with that.
Never, never, never. I've got no problems at all, or I would have had no problems at all if Reigns was the new Paul Heyman guy after his match with – after his match with Paul Heyman. Because, let's face it, if anybody was going to be able to get Reigns over in that company, it would be Paul Heyman. I don't think anybody else or anything else would. But I'm totally with the crowd that was chanting boring, because it was.
Yeah, and look, to even go sort of with the whole it's hard to grasp on things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're about to get Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker in Hell in a Fucking Cell.
Yep.
Yet, I couldn't give two shits about it. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm guessing we're going to get the hard sell over this week.
It's starting tomorrow
night.
We've
got the Austin podcast tomorrow night and everything.
Yep.
And I just feel like there's nothing to really drag us in.
Well, yeah. I think that's because we haven't really been subjected to anything at all since their last matchup at whatchamacallit? That was what, all the way back to SummerSlam in August?
Yeah, pretty much the Undertaker Lesnar bit for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That was the last time we sort of got dragged into it and really felt like we needed to watch it.
And I remember the feeling we had right before SummerSlam, oh yeah, finally they've hooked me, because it took a lot of work, but they did. They grabbed us to different degrees, I'm sure, but they actually pulled us in and made us want to watch the match. Then the next thing you know, we had that buggered up finish, which we found out was actually scripted, and that was the actual plan, which to me is just it was just dumb. But we were still like, well, you know, the blow-off is the Hell in the Cell match. Yeah, so let's rub our hands together. Well, wait, how come you haven't done anything yet? Oh, you got Brock Lesnar's Go to Hell tour. Let's see him live at Madison Square Garden. Well, there was a 3-minute match we didn't need, and 5 minutes of our lives we collectively couldn't get back together. So, yeah, I mean, do something, you guys. And they've on this one, if you ask me. I think they've dropped the ball big time.
Yeah, like we've got that panel thing that's going to be happening tomorrow night on Raw. Then we've got Lesnar on the Austin podcast.
Yep.
Unless Taker shows up at that panel on Raw, it's not going to be as great as even SummerSlam. You know, SummerSlam drew us in, and you know it was the same with their WrestleMania match. They were able to find ways to drag us in. This time, it's like they don't even care. They don't even want to try. They're just banking on name alone. And that's not enough.
No. Especially nowadays. You know,
you can't put fucking Floyd Mayweather on a card and expect it to draw on name alone. Guy's got to go out there and be a dickhead. And then he draws.
People will want to watch if they can be guaranteed that Floyd Mayweather is going to be hurt. Because, sure, the guy's a great boxer. And, yeah, he proved that he's a boxer when he covered up against Manny Pacquiao and wouldn't fight, just scored points on the retaliation, you know. But he's got to be one of the most boring SOBs I ever saw step into the ring to put on a pair of boxing gloves. And, you know, if I don't have to pay for it and Floyd Mayweather's fighting, fine, put it on TV. If I'm not distracted by reading a book, then maybe I'll pay attention to it. But don't hold your breath.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, something just seems really off lately about the WWE product.
Yeah, I can't, like I say, I can't really disagree too much with you on that one. After what was it, 8 months of absolutely fantastic programming last year, we are relegated to what we've had this year, and it's been more mess than hit so far.
Yeah, to say this was the drizzling shits of the year, yeah, bit of an understatement, to be honest.
Well, you know, 5 years in the decade have come and gone, and I don't recall any of the previous four being as hit and miss as this one. More miss than hit.
Yeah. I just have this feeling that we're in that fourth quarter lull where it's like, okay, we're hitting the end of the year. We don't have a major show till Royal Rumble. SummerSlam's over and done with. We just have to fill time between September and December.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much where we're stuck at right now with the product. Of course, we're all going to pay attention to what happens on Raw tomorrow night, either live or on DVR where you can fast forward through the boring bits. But they've got to start doing something. Yeah, and harken back to the Eric Bischoff interview with JBL on Legends. That one question JBL asked him, how do you feel that WWE is now putting on the programming you were forced to have to deal with when you were going head to head with the Attitude Era? And that was, you know, part of WCW's ratings decline, is Eric Bischoff's ideas were all getting killed in favor of family friendly fare, which is difficult to say.
Yeah. Did they ever put out the second half of that interview, by the way?
Yeah, they did, part two. And, well, I saw two parts anyway. I watched it on the replays. It was almost a two hour long interview, all told, right? Like the first one was an hour long.
Yeah, because I don't remember seeing the second half advertised at all on the WWE Network, so I'm going to have to go back and double check it.
Well, you should be able to catch it on the replays, because I did watch part one and part two, and it was a good interview. It was really well done, and a couple of things JBL brought up rather incorrectly, but I'll tell you, it was fun listening to Eric Bischoff really basically open and close the book on Vince Russo, and he didn't imply it, he didn't infer it, he came right out and called out Vince Russo for being a liar. And
that's just about everybody else in wrestling has done with Vince Russo.
Yeah. But the whole thing was quite interesting. And the, you know, explaining the whole bit with Hogan actually pretending to be all pissed off because Jarrett laid down and let him get pinned, so Hogan could win the belt. But then you see Hogan walk away and throw the belt, and finding out that that was actually all in the script. But then after they left and they were heading to the airport to make their house show appearance day or whatever it was for the next night, Russo went and decided to go ahead and do everything that he wanted to do that Bischoff told him not to do anyway. That was all interesting as anything, you know. So I highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, everybody, watch it, because I'm positive you'll really, truly, honestly enjoy the interview. JBL did a really good job with it, which
as
to me
he should.
Was a little bit of a surprise that JBL did so well as an interviewer. I don't know why. I'm just surprised.
I do find it amusing, though. Like, the two people that I would recommend anybody go and listen to when it comes to, you know, wrestling booking or running a wrestling company are both guys that absolutely despise Vince Russo. That being Eric Bischoff and Jim Cornette.
Uh-huh. Well, if I were to throw a third person on that list, you know it would be Heyman.
Yeah. Yeah, more so booking than actually running a wrestling company because, you know, we saw what happened when he ran a wrestling company.
Well, yeah, true. For booking, like, his booking was fantastic. He just had absolutely no... you see, the problem was ECW was too big for its own good. It grew too fast, and he wasn't able to keep up with it and all this other shit going down. But, I mean, if you want to find that out, watch the DVD, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Heyman. That'll really clear a whole bunch of stuff up. And another really entertaining compilation put out by WWE this past year. That I've watched that about, I don't know, three or four times, and I'm still not bored of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So quite enjoyable. Anyway, that's our win and fail and such for the week. And if you're wondering where our third member of this trifecta is, Mr. Omega is busy off recording. He should be joining us a little bit later on, just so you know. So we're just basically going through what we're going through till he shows the hell up and he can set us all straight and tell us how things really are. So, that being said, what do you think about the Freebirds for the Hall of Fame in 2016, Mace?
Eh.
Is that a bit of a stretch? Are they, would they be, like, gotten in there just because, well, you know, WWE has put too many people into the Hall of Fame every year, and they need to find somebody right now until current members retire?
Pretty much. It's one of those things where they have put in too many people. They ran out of the big 80s guys.
Yep.
Now they're sitting there going, well, shit, who can we put in now? Michael Hayes, would you like to put on a brightly colored suit and actually stand in front of the camera for once instead of being pointed out in the crowd?
I'm sure that Michael Hayes would just be absolutely tickled pink. So, I suppose, you
or
know,
purple,
I suppose.
Or green or orange or red.
Or a combination of all colors, because, you know, after all, it was the 80s. What about Brian Pillman? Chase in the chat room is mentioning Brian Pillman. Pillman, do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame, WWE?
Yeah, you can put in Pillman. He wouldn't be a headliner, though. I think they were looking at the Freebirds to maybe be their headliners.
Which yeah, that's
I wouldn't agree with. That's a fucking stretch. Yeah, but Pillman, yeah, I could see Pillman being put in. You'd definitely have to have Austin be the guy who does the induction, though.
Oh, absolutely. It could not be anybody else but Austin. I mean, I couldn't even think of anybody else who it would be. Problem I have with Pillman in the WWE Hall of Fame, and of course I got a chance to see Brian Pillman wrestle, here for the, original Stu Hart's Stampede Wrestling back in the late 80s. He was damn good. But he didn't really have that long of a career, comparatively speaking, of course. And
well, sometimes it's not about the length. It's about what you've done.
Yeah.
You know, well, Pillman was always an entertaining character. He was one of the people involved in one of the most controversial storylines in that company.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you know, they would pull in a lot of his WCW stuff as well and, you know, his time in ECW as well.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about the WWE Hall of Fame is it's no longer about you have to be all in this all in the one company. Because they own WCW, because they own ECW, they can go back into those type of archives and use them to help, you know, justify why this person's going in.
Yeah.
You know, look at Alondra Blaze, you know. It was basically we touched on her career in WWE. And here's the controversy that she's remembered for. Yeah. Now we're putting her in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I get your point on that one. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. The majority of his time in WWE, he was on crutches, right? You know, and the biggest thing he did was the angle with the gun. And I mean, personally speaking, yeah, I'm loving the idea of Brian Pillman being honored that way, posthumously. There we go again, another posthumous honor to a dearly departed member of the fraternity. But is 2016 going to...
Hold on. You can't discount Pillman just because he spent most of his WWE career on crutches.
No.
You know, Lawton spent 90% of his career in a friggin' hand and arm brace.
Yeah. Well, but will 2016 be the year that we see Sting inducted? Is Sting going to get in? Will he be the headline attraction for Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he'd be the headline or one of the co-headlines.
Uh-huh.
Like Sting on his own, you don't want to do that. Because you're talking about a guy who was a majority WCW guy.
Yeah.
Now, while it's okay to draw on somebody's past in WCW and ECW, you don't want it to be their focus.
Yeah.
So they will always want to have a big-time WWE guy being the headline or being the one who's the main draw. Then you have Sting as the co-headline.
Yeah, The co-main would be ideal, but would it be like, is it going to be this year or is it going to be 2017? Let's face it, we all know Sting is going into the Hall of Fame, and that's like the reason he finally signed with WWE is so he can be put into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, see, what I would do if I was in their situation, I'd be saying, okay, let's do the co-headline and put in two of our biggest, like the biggest draw. We'll put Sting in. And we'll put The Undertaker in as the two headlines together.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, then you've got your tag team induction to be the Freebirds. You've got your mid-card induction to be Pillman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure they could probably find someone to fill in the Divas spot. And, you know, you get a couple of other mid-card guys. As much as we all would love to see Owen Hart go in, we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's never. It will never happen.
But, you know, we're at the stage where it's really the well has run dry. We are scraping bottom.
Yep.
You know, and we're pretty much waiting for the next crop of guys to finish up and be done, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here, Chase is throwing it out in the chat room. Would you, for a diva, would you induct Ivory or even Molly Holly?
I'd probably induct Ivory over Molly Holly, to be honest.
Yeah.
Both possible candidates, yes.
Well, would there be China-style heat on Ivory with WWE? Because they butted heads really big right around the time she left.
No. She recently did table for three with Molly Holly and Alundra Blaze.
Oh, okay. Well, then, so things
are... So they must be on some sort of good... Yeah, they must have been in some sort of good terms or else they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, well, that's good. No, I love Ivory. Don't read that the wrong way, people listening. I know that one or two would probably say something, but I'm talking about Lisa Moretti is just a wonderful lady. And just speaking as somebody who's, you know, done the business, when I say I love her, I'm talking about as a member of the fraternity. I actually put together 100 bootleg DVDs for Lisa Moretti back in 2006. She got in touch with me and we're talking on the phone. She's saying, well, I want this, I want that, but you can't put any advertising on it because I'm sending you some unauthorized video for it. And she's taking these DVDs and selling them at like house show appearances that she was doing. But she's just a real sweetheart to work with, at least in the capacity I worked with her. So, but it was kind of funny, just the whole thing. Anyway, if they were to induct Ivory, I don't see any kind of negativity in that direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So like, we're also getting to the suggestion of putting Vader in.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bit of an iffy. But if they do go with it, you got to use Mick as the guy to induct him. Just so I can complain about his ear at least one more time.
Just once more. Just to get it out there with Vader standing right beside him. So. But, Vader is, to me, he's a yes and a no. And I could probably understand both arguments. And, again, we're talking about who's going to headline and who's on the undercard. Vader is definitely on the undercard.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, 100%.
I don't know. Do we go for the year that we put in Sid Vicious?
Oh, God.
Just for one more promo?
just one more for him screwing up the ruler and the leader of the world and calling it the WCW Hall of Fame?
Totally.
What would be funny if he actually, like, did that, but did it on purpose?
How would you tell, really?
That's the problem. You wouldn't be able to know. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I used to talk to Sid on a fairly semi-regular basis, thanks to one of the guys that actually helped me start the Wrestle Talk Radio a long time ago. He's a nice guy, but there are times he ain't all there. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, as far as the you got your tag team inductions, I can see the Free Words. I don't really have all that much negative in the to say about them being inducted. I'm just like, well, if you think so, okay. Yeah, that's my reaction to it. So, but anyway, now before we take our first break tonight, why don't we talk about my buddy Harry Smith, who's becoming more and more better known as Davey Boy Smith Jr. Did you hear about his announcement on Facebook that he now owns the trademark for the moniker the British Bulldog?
Yes, I did hear about him getting this. Congratulations on getting it. I'm sure it's good that he wants to pay tribute to his father by carrying on the name.
Yeah.
I always get a bit iffy about people wanting to carry on their father's name, especially in this case with the British Bulldog moniker and also, you know, Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah.
It's always hard for some of these kids to get out from under their father's shadows.
Yeah. Well, you know, in this situation, I think he's finally just decided to embrace it. But I kind of blame the WWE. Is when they brought him out, the first thing they ever had him do was get on the mic and introduce himself as Davey Boy's son. And they didn't really let him, you know, take the ball and run with it on his own, you know what I mean? Like they did with Natalya.
Yeah, but they do that more and more with just about everybody, you know, Ted DiBiase Jr.
Yeah.
Hell, even with Nia Jax, it took them, and I had a stopwatch on this, 35 seconds before they mentioned that she was The Rock's cousin.
Wow. 35 whole seconds. Let's just get out of the way right now that every Samoan who's ever been in the pro wrestling business is related to every other Samoan that's been in the pro wrestling business.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's just, you know, by default the way it is. So, but yeah, no, good on Harry. And I'm sorry, I'm not calling him Davey Jr. unless I'm at a show and that's the gimmick. He's always been Harry to me ever since he was a kid. And I tell you, it's really surreal. I used to run into his old man all the time, pounding back a few brews with Davey Boy at Denny Andrews nightclub in Calgary, or running into him when I'm working out of Edmonton and pounding back a couple of brews at TGI Fridays, you know, and then winding up fast forward to what was it, 2005, 2006, sitting down with Harry. And pounding back a couple of brews with him too. That's a bit of surrealism right there. So, but you stop and you think about it. Anything that WWE wants to throw out that has the British Bulldog Davey Boy Smith, they actually have to talk with Harry now, don't they?
I have no idea. Expert on copyright ownership, trademark law, and all that shit. So.
Yeah,
to release anything Davey Boy Smith, British Bulldog, they would have to license it through Harry. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Hi, Omega.
Hi.
How was your recording?
Way longer than expected.
Yeah, because it's already 40 minutes after the top of the hour.
Yeah, we were supposed to start like an hour before we did, and I thought I'd have a nice little break between these, but instead I'm going one to the other, and my throat is not doing well right now.
Well, that's okay. We don't really have a whole shitload to talk about, so we might not wind up doing the entire 2 hours. Just a reminder, everybody, WTR Pick'em happens tonight after our first break, probably before their second break, if we have a second break. We want you to play. Mr. Producer Person, do we have a giveaway this pay-per-view for the winner, Mr. Producer Person? said no. Unfortunately, no prize other than bragging rights this time around. But you never know when we're going to have a giveaway for you. But you know what? Play pick 'em anyway. We want you to. Listening live, throw in your pick 'em guesses, I guess you could call them, into the chat room. You can email media@wildtalkradio.com. You can post your pick 'em picks on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. Did I say you could email at media@wildtalkradio.com?
Don't care. Let's go to commercial.
I don't know. But, yeah, that being said, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, everybody. We're going to take our first break of the evening.
Sweet. About time we took a break.
Yeah, you just talk nonstop all segment, Omega, so we got to go and regroup. yeah, don't go anywhere, anybody. We got a whole bunch of very little coming your way right after the other side of this break.
Suffering is critical and finding what you need.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing up at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
I told you, I told you.
Gundam style. Gundam style. Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless ours, made in America.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com,
Again, the web address is pwmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is pwmania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, "Suplex City, bitch."
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow wow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Did you know that you could listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network while you're on the go, so you don't have to miss any of our programming? And it works worldwide. All you have to do is download the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile device. It's 100% free, unless you want to buy the premium version, which is just a waste of money if you ask me. You don't need it. Get the TuneIn app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And every time we go live, you can tune in no matter where you are. Thanks once again also to PW Mania. Hey, for all your wrestling news and views, check them out, www.pwmania.com. All right, those plugs out of the way. Something was brought to my attention by our producer the other day. A column written by some genius who basically posited that people who go to wrestling shows
shouldn't be allowed to chant shit. Basically, kill all wrestling chants. It's published on geek.com. I don't know if you guys have checked this out or not, but basically the synopsis, the short story is the person who wrote this column said, look, enough is enough. The crowd is making themselves be too much a part of the show and not paying attention to what's going on in the ring. So don't chant anything. What do you guys think about this?
I skimmed half of the article before I had to close it and shut the fucking idiot up. This is the dumbest drivel I've had to read for this show in a long fucking time, and I've had to read TNA results.
Yeah, that should tell you right there how bad that is, hey?
God. What do I care what some self-righteous column writer thinks about wrestling chants?
Yeah, good question. Mesa, somebody who's been working in the ring and has heard crowds chanting different things, either for you, against you, or tastes great, less filling. How do you feel as somebody who has worked about all these different chants that the crowd puts forth?
All right. Just 1 second. Got stretched for this one. Alrighty. There's a term in retail that most people will probably know. If you have ever worked in retail, you would have heard this one. Retail would be great if it wasn't for the customers, meaning basically we want to do our job, but we don't want to actually deal with people. It seems to be that this is the new thing with wrestling, quote-unquote, experts, column writers, and just about anybody else who believes that they should shove a stick up their own ass because they believe that they are hoity-toity better than wrestling fans.
Yep.
Wrestling would be great if it wasn't for the fans. Huh? Okay, genius. Fucking moron that you really are.
Sink your teeth in.
Oh, it's just one of these things of I am sick of these type of fucking holier than thou, better than the person that everything is intended for types that sit there in their fucking recliners week after week and go, oh, I love this WWE thing, but those fans that aren't just cheering and booing and you're going, go Cena, go, or go Roman Reigns, go, that are expressing an opinion that is different to mine. How dare those lower plebeians be allowed to be a part of this great entertainment medium?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost, I don't want to say it's an entitlement mindset because it's not, but it's the type of mindset that comes along with such an attitude.
Yeah.
You know, I am better than you, but even though, in essence, I am a wrestling fan, you're a wrestling fan, however, I am a better class of wrestling fan.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that everything should be done like a scripted television show. The face comes out, you better cheer them. If the heel comes out, you better boo them. If a crowd is boring, If a match is boring, you better shut the fuck up and you better only do a chant that is positive towards the wrestler when the wrestler tells you you're allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
No! Could you imagine stuff like that being done in a fucking football game or a fucking soccer game or baseball or something like that where the crowd is ruining it because they're expressing an opinion? No! You do the football, you're going to get your head kicked in.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it's perfectly acceptable to be done at wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I know how much you hate when I talk about hockey, but I am going to, as sort of an analogy directed towards this stupid-ass column. Back when the Flames first started playing in Calgary at the – back then it was called the Olympic Saddle Dome, it was – called the library because people were so quiet. And if you were to look around, you'd see a lot of the crowd on their mobile devices texting back and forth. There were ladies there at the game reading a book instead of paying attention to the hockey game. And why go to any event if you're not going to pay attention to it? Get involved. I can remember being given tickets as a Christmas present by my ex-wife to a couple of hockey games, and this is back like in 1990, oh my God, 1995, 96. Yes, like ages 20 years ago, this took place. I took her brother, my brother-in-law, to one of the games. We went there. We had a great time. We watched the Calgary Flames beat the Toronto Maple Leafs by a final score of 3-1, and we got into it. We're sitting in the upper deck, and we're cheering, and we're having a good time, and we're catcalling, and we're hissing and a hollering and a huzzahing and picking on hockey players and calling out hockey players for dumb moves or bad passes. Just enjoying ourselves and the game and a couple of what we'd like to call here in Calgary heroin beers, which is the draft beer that they sell at the Saddle Dome. It's called heroin beer because it's so goddamn addictive. We got shushed by a young 20-something female with her boyfriend at the game. Two seats in front of us, two rows down from us. She turned around and said, shush. Well, I looked at Dustin, Dustin looked at me, and then we looked at her, and we said, fuck no, in unison. I'm like, it's a live event. You're there to have a good time, and the chants and the cheers and the boos and the borings and the we want Cena and the Cena sucks all adds to the atmosphere of the live event. And yeah, sure, the crowd on the Monday Raw following WrestleMania is a reputation. It doesn't matter what city they're in. The first Raw crowd after WrestleMania has a reputation for being, I don't know, for lack of a better term, I guess you guys, we could call them a party crowd. Does that work?
Yeah, pretty much. The Raw crowd after WrestleMania is a bit different because a lot of those people have spent a lot of money to attend that show, and a lot of them would have been at WrestleMania that night, the night before as well. But the thing is, like, I can understand where this guy's coming from. Like, some of those chants do get a bit annoying, and they do get distracting, and you know, look at a couple of Raws where, you know, you hear, you know, chants for JBL and Michael Cole, and the announcers acknowledge that, and then you see the camera following the wave around the ring rather than watching what's in the ring.
Uh-huh.
You know, but that's all part of what makes wrestling wrestling.
Yep.
You know, sure, it might be annoying, but you can't take away people's opinion, people's rights to express themselves. You know, this is not a comedy show. You know, we're not piping in fake laughter and, you know, the oohs when something happens, you know. This is a live crowd. You cannot control human nature. And people like this that come out there and go, we should kill all wrestling chants and just keep it to cheering and booing when things are supposed to be done.
Yeah.
All right, motherfucker, let's see you go down there with some signs and try and direct that crowd.
Good luck to you.
It's not gonna fucking happen.
No shit.
No, you know what's gonna happen is if you go down there and act like that, you're gonna have a crowd of people turn around and start chanting "Right to Censor" at you.
A wrestling Stevie Richards.
Like, a wrestling crowd wouldn't even look at that and go, "Oh, you're just trying to shut us up." No, they think you're like cosplaying like Stevie Richards and the Good Father and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with people today and trying to take away, like, to say, you know, let's stop chanting at wrestling, you know, or, you know, let's stop this person from saying this, let's stop people from doing that. When did the world suddenly become fucking, what was it, George Orwell's 1984?
Well, you know, we wound up with George Orwell's 1984 as late as 1995. Well, as far back as
but you get what I'm saying though. Like, everybody today seems to be obsessed with taking away other people's rights to say something.
Yeah. Well, this
positive,
this whole
negative doesn't matter. It's about one people trying to censor another, and back and forth.
Yeah. Well, you know, this whole column this idiot wrote, just basically, to sum it up, says to me, how dare you say something that I find distracting when I'm trying to watch John Cena and get off watching my matches.
Yeah,
that's
and
how it comes.
Here's the thing. If you're watching Raw and the chants are coming through constantly and you're fucking sick of them, they invented this button on the remote called mute. You push that and suddenly you can't hear anything.
Neat how that works, hey?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I use it all the time when Michael Cole's talking.
Well, that's not hard to do, and that's just like a given, isn't it, Omega?
I just mean there's like practical application here.
Yeah, yeah. Change Michael Cole's name to Mucal Cole. Mute Cole. Cole. Never mind. Doesn't work. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mute. Just call him Muty Cole. There you go. But yeah, this is just, it's people like that should never go out in public or listen to watch live sporting events. Yes, I know I'm calling professional wrestling a live sporting event. And, you know, technically it is. You know, sports entertainment. Yes, it's a soap opera. Fine. We get it. It's you know, bullet points and scripted out, and the ending is predetermined. What happens during the matches, however, is not exactly predetermined. It's worked out and choreographed, but if you fuck up, it's going to hurt.
Yeah. It's like a boxing match.
Yeah, it takes a great deal of athleticism to be able to pull off all of this shit, you know? And, yeah, you know, appreciate what the guys do to entertain you. Absolutely. Sure. Don't tell me that I can't chant a beer commercial slogan, taste great, less filling, taste great, less filling, if that's what the crowd is doing, because they're having fun at the event.
Like, the stupid thing is, like, his main example, like, the straw that broke the camel back for this fucking moron was the thing that I called my win for the week, which was Cena acknowledging the engagement of two people in the crowd. Because the crowd suddenly saw this thing happening and they got into it. They were chanting for this guy that was proposing to his girlfriend.
And the fact this, of the matter
this, is and the thing is, it's nothing new.
Yeah,
I have seen this happen at football games. I've seen it happen at basketball games.
Yep.
Where the crowd will take notice of a marriage proposal and really like try and, you know, add a little bit of extra to the woman that's being proposed to get her to say yes.
Yeah.
The difference is that for the first time pretty much in a long time that I've seen outside of live events, John Cena stopped a match to acknowledge it on television.
And that was kind of cool that he did that, I think.
Well, yeah. Like, it gave this couple a really good story to tell
the kids,
you know, to their kids down the track, that, you know, when I engaged to your mother, sure, it was at a wrestling event, but the guys in the ring stopped wrestling to congratulate us on getting married. It's a good story. And they had, you know, what's a Raw crowd these days, you know, about 7,000-8,000 people, if not 10.
Well, depends on where you're going. It could be anywhere from 8,000 to 18,000. I mean, Raw comes to Calgary, and they packed us out of them. You got 19,500 people in there watching Raw.
And pretty much, you know, for these guys, the marriage proposal and the acceptance was acknowledged not only by the people in the crowd numbering in the thousands, but millions around the world.
Oh, yeah.
But
you know, how often does that happen?
Yeah. What got to me about that is that when it gets to that segment of the article, he's like, oh, I don't think WWE would approve of that. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't approve of them, you know, stopping the match to acknowledge something in the crowd. They posted it on YouTube.
WWE posted it on YouTube.
WWE posted it on YouTube. They tweeted it out.
and you'll find that probably sometime in the next week, WWE will probably post an article with those two people congratulating them and probably have a small interview or something.
They'll send a gift or a photographer to the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. And this isn't the first time that the WWE has acknowledged a marriage proposal during an event. Like I said, this happens quite often at live events.
I mean,
and they usually have the guy get in the ring with one of his favorite wrestlers and invite his girlfriend in and make the marriage proposal in the middle of the ring.
Like, one of the things he's talking about is, like, well, the audience is making themselves too much a part of the show. No. When someone jumps the rail in full shield gear and tries to, like, enter a match, okay, he's doing it. And guess what? They kept him off camera. They didn't acknowledge him. If someone is in the crowd, like, dressed as Hulk Hogan and trying to distract everyone with all the mannerisms, they, you know, someone from security goes, hey, knock it the fuck off. Okay.
that's making themselves too much a part of the show. But some of the best stuff comes from the stuff we see out of the crowds. I mean, like the chants and reactions that we got at like NXT that were completely genuine. You know, okay, post-WrestleMania, the crowd is more fired up. They are more talkative. But it's okay, sometimes, yeah, they start chanting for the announcers when, you know, when the match is boring or not satisfying to them in some way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry, that's honest, first-hand, in-the-moment feedback.
Yeah, like, and speaking about feedback, as somebody who has booked shows and run shows, I listen to the crowds chanting because that tells me who's over. Who in my locker room is really pleasing the fans and the fans are really digging. They're telling me that, okay, well, we got to let Scottly Crew keep talking smack talk on the microphone because the fans are getting into it. We got to shut Spectre up because people are finding him boring because they're chanting boring. All right, so we're going to take all of the shit that we heard and – now that we're planning the next show, we got to do this. Let's cut out that, and let's give them a hell of a lot more of this.
Right. And we do that ourselves as wrestling fans, is we find those things. Sometimes we find things in the crowd we latch onto, especially today in the world of memes. Mm-hmm. It goes back to, like, you know, it goes back to, like, Sign Guy, you know, in ECW.
Yeah.
The trilogy, Sign Guy, Hawaiian shirt guy, and metalhead guy.
Pretty much.
Three guys that would sit in the same spots in an ECW crowd, and they were known for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, you watch
same
WWE.
Same with Izzy in NXT.
Same with Izzy and Izzy in NXT. Well, not even that, because, the WWE, like, on camera acknowledges that a lot more. But things that, like, we notice in the crowd, like, if you see someone in a red baseball cap front row at a WWE event, you know who that is.
WWE sign guy, also known as Rick Ockberger, and I have spoken with him live on more than a few occasions on WrestleTalk Radio.
Yeah, and it's always – that's something that fans latched onto because it's something they saw in the crowd that they held onto. It's never acknowledged on crowd, at least not verbally. Like, you'll see a wrestler or someone address them from time to time on camera, but they never acknowledge that it's the same guy who keeps showing up. And these days you have things like Miz Girl and the guy who reacted to The Undertaker, who turned out to have a much deeper story to, you know, his WWE passions. You know, things that we notice that the crowd, the genuine reactions from the crowd that we make into even bigger things because they connect to us.
Well, shit, you wouldn't have the whole fucking yes chant if it wasn't for the WrestleMania crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and without that, do you think Daniel Bryan would have gotten over to the point where they tried put the title on him?
Oh, hell no.
At the last minute of WrestleMania? No.
Because they had no other choice.
Exactly. But, you know, you brought up WWE sign guy. It's gotten to the point, and he's been to so many shows, and he has been so visible, and he has shown up with so many different signs, that when he attends a WWE live event, they find out, like, WWE knows this in advance, that he's got tickets and he's coming. And he gets an escort to his seat. His seat is reserved by the WWE, making sure nobody, you know, steals it or grabs it from him or whatever. And then WWE has their own security escort him to his seat. And it got to the point that Rick Ockberger was on some game show, and Randy Orton and Edge showed up to heckle him. That's huge.
It was funny as hell.
I can't remember the game show. I just remember that the two of them showed up to heckle him.
Yeah, they came complete with signs and everything just to really fuck with him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and Rick is an awesome guy. He's great. He's great fun to talk to. I mean, he works retail, or at least he did the last time I talked to him. And all of these WWE events, he saves up all year long. And, you know, he's got a budget for all of these shows that he goes to. It's on his very own dime. That includes travel.
By the way, Tim, it was Deal or No Deal.
Okay, thank you. That's it. Deal or No Deal. Yeah.
I just found the clip on YouTube.
I'm watching it now.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No, his, like, he goes to all his shows across all across the United States, and it's on his own dime. He pays for absolutely everything. But he has been so integral as a member of the live crowd that he has become part of the show when he goes. And you're going to tell me that maybe guys like him should be told to piss off?
Yeah,
that article was really ridiculous.
I was like Omega, you know, I got halfway through the damn thing and I had to close the window out of like pure fucking rage. And, you know, you guys know that I'm at my boiling point with this type of person.
Yep.
You know, we talked about this off air last week and how pissed off I am at this type of attitude.
Yep.
And frankly, this is another reason why I'm currently suffering from burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sick of dealing with these type of fucking, you know, quote unquote geniuses, as they want to call themselves. Because, you know, you're not bigger than anybody else that's sitting in a crowd at a wrestling show. Yep. Just because they're not chanting the way you want them to chant or acting the way you expect them to act, it doesn't mean that you have the right to say this shouldn't be this way.
No.
If you want to fucking control a show, if you want to try and control a crowd, open your own fucking wrestling company. If you think you can do better than the guys that are currently in the fucking ring or booking a show, run your own fucking company. Otherwise, shut the fuck up and
no
just
kidding.
Enjoy it like the rest of us.
You want to control the crowd? Move to Syria or Saudi Arabia, you know, get in the middle of ISIS and run shows for them, because guaranteed you're going to be able to control that crowd that would go to that wrestling show. That sounds hard
to
you?
Remember, just remember, at an ISIS wrestling show, they always have an explosive main event.
Oh, God. Welcome to the Wild Talk Radio Network, politically incorrect and damn proud of it. Anyway,
can we have some time to go and, like, let off steam? I'm going to go punch a wall for a minute.
Well, yeah, but I was going to ask what you figured the worst chant in wrestling might be. I'll tell you what I think the worst chant in wrestling might be. When the crowd doesn't chant.
What?
When the crowd doesn't chant.
What?
Yeah.
I believe Omega was expressing his opinion.
No, I was about to say, yeah, I was going to bring up Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Here's the thing. Like, some chants can be stupid, you know. I, along with a group of friends that I used to go to local shows with, we would come up with some of the most stupid shit. Like, yep. two of our biggest ones that, while the rest of the crowd would look at us like we're fucking crazy, but the boys in the back would pop for,
mm-hmm.
was we had two. Christmas sucks, and the ring is blue. Because they had a blue canvas. They had a blue canvas on the ring. And when things got slow, we started chanting, "The ring is blue. The ring is blue. The ring is blue." If that didn't work, we were going, "Christmas sucks. Christmas sucks."
Yeah,
I don't know why. It was just random shit that we put out. And, like, most of the people in the crowd were looking at us like we were insane. Mm. But the boys in the back were popping.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, that's an insider's joke. I mean, we had our own thing with the Canadian All-Pro.
Yeah.
And, you know, Stampede had theirs. I'm sure shit goes on with WWE, where you probably might get a couple of wrestlers gathered around the monitor in the back, mumbling chant-like invectives during a match that everybody's laughing at, but you'll never hear it in public.
That's some of the best stuff is when it goes off randomly like that. Like, my favorite clip of Botchamania ever, just this little – this boring match from an indie show, you know, who knows versus who cares.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe 100 people surrounding the ring, just watching this thing bored out of their minds. So they don't care who's in the ring either. So they just chant whatever they want to chant. They start, you know, chanting Cena sucks at an indie show.
Yep.
At one time, these two know nothing guys, they start chanting, "You screwed Brett," and the announcers die laughing on camera.
They just have no choice. I mean, shit like that happens. It's out of the blue. Brett's not 5,000 miles near the event, and that chant breaks out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to catch me off guard.
Like, even surprisingly, like, with the rise of Botchamania, like, the chants have gotten absolutely fucking stupider and stupider. Like, it shows where the guy won't even appear. You still hear, Super Dragon!
Yeah.
Super Dragon!
All because
I even heard it on Raw once! I heard somebody chanting Super Dragon on Raw. I lost my shit. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
One chant that I want to hear, it's not funny, if you guys think it's lame, that's fine. But there is one chant that I want to hear that I haven't heard. We don't like you, clap, clap, you know, instead of so-and-so sucks. I just want to hear we don't like you chant.
Oh, no, I just remember one of the other ones that we used to do. This is a chant. This is a chant. This is a chant.
Well, I've told you guys about when I was doing DVDs for Stampede Wrestling here, right? When the crowd actually got to talk. What's that? Yeah, broke up.
You doing DVDs for Stampede Wrestling. Gee, it sounds like you almost mentioned that weekly.
I didn't mention it last week. It was the week before. So it's every other week. Anyway, the crowd, you know, something amazing happens in the ring. Crowd started chanting, holy shit. And they were actually asked not to do that because of all the kids. And the crowd took the holy shit chant. They just started chanting, holy bleep. It was the funniest thing the first time they ever did that.
Like, there are situations where the WWE will try and control what you say.
Oh.
You know, they'll try and tone down some of the more crude chants. I actually got pulled aside by WWE security at a live show because I was going off my head at Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Just calling him a fucking piece of shit. And, you know, can't fucking wrestle with it. And the security's come up to me and go, like, can you just sort of turn it down a touch for the kids? I'm like, no, fuck you. They said, if you don't do it, we're going to throw you out. I'm like, still some matches left. I'll turn it down.
Because they don't give you your money if they kick you out. And that's so I try not to get kicked out. So.
Yeah, no refunds on ejections. So.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being at a bar last call. I ordered like four drinks. And the doorman were trying to tell me that I had to leave. I telling him, I'm not leaving until I'm finished my drink. He says, no, dude, we're closing. Got to go. Well, then refund my money. I won. They let me stay and drink my drinks, but I had to slam all four of them down, like one right after the other. So anyway, that being said, why don't we take our second and final time out of the evening and come back with Hell in a Cell pick 'em, guys? Sound like a deal?
That's good. I'm going to go watch Dylan.
There you go. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network and streamed live on the free TuneIn app for your mobile device. We'll be back right after this. Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
All in all, pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway,
With that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the show. Producer's the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Alright, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it now. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
Hi, Bob. Here, Godfather Street. For whatever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! It's Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down, he's assaulting the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said she.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just answering Chase real quick in the chat room. Canadian universities play football on the CFL fields in the cities that they're in. Otherwise, it's a regular field. There's your answer, Chase. Now, turning our talk from football to professional wrestling, it's time to play WTR Pick'em. Once again, everybody, make your picks. You're in the chat room. Post your picks or post them to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, or email them to media@WildTalkRadio.com. We don't need a detailed synopsis unless you want to provide us with one. That's up to you. We just want to know who you think is going to win. And you get bragging rights for the next month if you're the one who comes out on top. Speaking about on top, let's kick it off with the kickoff match. We're looking at Luke Harper and Braun Strowman, taking on Dean Ambrose and Randy Orton. And let's start with Omega.
God, I wish I cared about this match more.
Well, it's the kickoff match.
I know it's the kickoff match, but being the kickoff and considering Bray is not involved here, I would be inclined to give it to Orton and Ambrose.
Yeah.
It feels like right now the unit of the Wyatts, when all three are in the match, should not be defeated.
Okay.
But I get the feeling between star power on one side and it's the kickoff, so let's get the crowd hot for the night.
Yeah.
I'm more inclined to give it to the faces here.
Okay, fair enough. Mace.
I'm going to give it to the power of the fuzzy faces.
Harper and Strowman it is.
Pretty much.
All right. I can see both sides here. Ambrose and Orton winning might give the crowd the extra pop. But if they can put on a good match, Harper and Strowman going over isn't going to affect it negatively. That being said, let's go with Luke Harper and Braun Strowman for my pick. And, starting to get into the meat of it, the WWE Tag Team Championship, we've got The New Day, defending against the Dudley Boys, Mace.
Oh, this is gonna be fun. By the way, rest in peace, Trombone.
Wow.
Pretty much. They finally used it as a weapon. See, this is one of those ones that I'm torn. It's like, okay, we are gonna have to give the Dudleys a tag title run
at some
point. That's a given.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the New Day has been so entertaining lately that you don't want
to
take the belts off them. You know what? I'm gonna stick with my boys. I'm gonna stick with the New Day. Gotta stick with the New Day.
Fair enough. Omega.
I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I hate to keep the Dudleys losing in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've had a lot of matches with the New Day so far, and they come up on the losing end usually because of numbers game and such. But I still feel like the blow off is supposed to be a tables match. Like if they're going to pass the belts off, it should be there. But at this point, I can't justify, like...
Can you go 2 more months?
The only way you can is if the Dudleys win the titles at Night of Champions, and then...
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell, sorry. Brains elsewhere. Your only real chance is to give them the championships now, and then have the New Day invoke a rematch clause to go one more chance. Okay, but this time, if you want your belts back, you have to beat us in a table match. That in mind, just to, is the only logical way I can draw this out any farther, I'd say the Dudleys.
Just to give us one last match that we want with the tables.
Then again, I'm using logic here, so this is probably a mistake.
That's an iffy proposition at the best of times. Yes, this is true. fair enough. Oh, this is painful. I mean, you put forth a great argument, have the blow-off match be the table match, but would that be this match or the rematch or the match they win the titles? You know what? I'm gonna go take a look at your scenario, Omega, and say the Dudley Boys win and the New Day get the rematch with the stipulation of it being a tables match. So, Dudley Boys for me. And up next, the Intercontinental Championship. We've got Kevin Owens defending against Ryback. And, I'm picking Kevin Owens, partly because I do not need Ryback carrying a title. Nobody needs that. Secondly, he just got the goddamn thing. Why would you strip him of it this quickly? For me, Kevin Owens retains Omega.
It's weird because the one redeeming quality to Ryback as the Intercontinental Champion is the fact he was the only one with a belt that was consistently winning.
Mm-hmm.
That said, yeah, you just gave it to Owens. There's no reason to take it off of him this fast.
Yep. Okay, so we got two for KO. Mace.
Yeah, 3 for 3, Owens.
No reason to expand on it, I guess, because we've already said our piece about that. All right, so up next will be the Divas Championship match, Charlotte defending against Nikki Bella, Mace.
We got who against who? What? Huh?
Charlotte Diva, versus Divas something? Charlotte versus Nikki for the Divas title.
Charlotte retains, so I don't give a shit.
Okay, there you go, Omega.
God, they killed this whole movement so damn fast. Yeah, Charlotte's going to retain. It might be the one match she's won since getting that belt.
Okay. Make a clean sweep. Charlotte, and come on, smarten up with the Divas. That's all I got to say about that. WWE Championship match next on the table. Now, if Kane loses, corporate Kane is no longer the director of operations. And the title holder, Seth Rollins, is defending against Kane, Omega. It's the demon.
I hate for this story to go away.
It's gotten good, hasn't it?
Split personality, Kane has been one of the best characters he's played in a long time. This is how I wanted corporate Kane to go since it started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been performed amazingly.
Which two faces of Kane.
For a guy who used to cut promos with a voice box in his hand, that's a long way.
Yep.
But it's 2015. There's no chance of Kane winning a title now. I hate to say it, but yeah, it's over.
Alrighty then. So Seth Rollins retaining, according to Omega, Mace.
Jeez. Kane by DQ.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't see them taking the belt off Rollins.
Uh huh.
But at the same time, I don't see them getting rid of this dual personality Kane deal either.
Hmm.
And corporate Kane is a big part of that identity, so I don't see them getting rid of him in that role.
Now, if corporate Kane no longer the director of operations, would they be able to find a reason to keep corporate Reign visible and still do the dichotomy, the split personalities? That, I think, is a major question, and that's a bit of a stumbling block to me because I can see so many different scenarios where corporate Kane is still in the picture, even though he's not director of operations. And then they can still do Demon Kane, Corporate Kane, Demon Kane, Corporate Kane. I'm really having a tough time with this. I know Kane's not going to win the title, but is he going to win by DQ, or will it be called a no contest for whatever reason? Double count out, disqualification, anything like that.
But don't you have to have your champion win something?
Not if he's the heel. All you have to do is the heel retains the title by hook or by crook, not by any honorable means or methods. It doesn't matter how he keeps his title because he's the heel.
But he keeps losing everything.
Well, that's the only thing they know what to do with Rollins right now.
He is
a wormy, obviously undeserving champion that is just squeaking by and playing dirty to keep the belt because he wants to hold on to a belt.
That being said, he still has won a number of matches one way or the other. He has still actually gotten the pinfall or the submission. Not as many as you would expect. And yeah, sure, certainly they're not as memorable as him retaining the title by being a worm.
No, he's won one match in the last month.
So, well, that's the last month. You know, he's had the title since WrestleMania, right? And you look at the entire body of work, not just the last month. See, you know what? I'm going to have to say a non-finish like Mace, just so they don't end this storyline, because I don't know. I'm getting the feeling they're building this up to a major, massive rematch at WrestleMania. Yeah, I know. Speculation at the beginning of the year was Seth Rollins versus Triple H at WrestleMania, but I don't see that happening.
So you see the big match is Kane versus Seth Rollins?
Well, not, you know what I mean.
Well, you said a big Mania match, Seth Rollins and Kane, that's your big Mania match.
Okay. Not the big match for Mania. The big match between the two of these guys with an actual finish and an actual winner and an actual loser.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've got to go the same route as Mace, really. Seth Rollins retains the title but doesn't win the match. So, that's my pick, too. Hell in a Cell. Here it is. Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar, Mace.
Why do I feel we've missed one?
You did, because Tim skipped it right over one.
I did? What?
Yeah.
What'd I screw up?
Hell in a Cell, Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns.
That's not on my rundown sheet.
It totally is on your rundown sheet.
No, it isn't. Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's right there.
I'm trying to
get it's on mine, it's on Omega's, it's on Raw.
It's just not on mine, sitting right there above the WWE Championship match. We'll get to it. Let's just do Brock Lesnar Undertaker, then we'll go to Bray Wyatt Roman Reigns.
Because that makes sense.
That's the headline match.
All right, Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns Hell in a Cell match, Mace.
No, let's talk Brock Lesnar the Undertaker then.
Oh, God damn it, you guys. All right, Lesnar, Taker, Mace.
No, Rollins and Wyatt.
All right, that's it. Omega? Wyatt Reigns.
Can I go back to talking about the kickoff match real quick?
Don't make
me
turn this show around. I'll go back to the beginning and make you give us your win and fail for the week.
So, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns.
Yes. Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns.
You know, I don't see where this feud goes from here. Mm-hmm. I don't see what else you can do with it.
Yeah.
This is Reigns' match to win.
Okay.
I don't see another outcome, just because if you're going to have Wyatt win, then you're going to move on from the feud, and it's Roman Reigns. It's WWE's main eventer that is not, that absolutely refuses to happen because nobody really wants it yet.
All right. So you're picking Roman Reigns. Mace?
Yeah, I'm also going Roman Reigns. You know, we're about to get the strap, the rocket, to the guy's ass and send him to the fucking moon push for Roman Reigns.
Number two.
Yeah, version 2.0, and this time there is no Daniel Bryan to stop it.
Alrighty then. Yeah, what the hell, I'll pick Roman Reigns. Match that we care least about, I'm picking Hell in a Cell, Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns. Omega?
Really? Over the Divas match?
Okay. Over the Divas match? Well, you know, I still
over
have
over the
hopes.
Kickoff match?
Over, yeah. Over Ryback and Kevin Owens?
No, because Kevin Owens is in the match.
Ryback's in the match.
I don't care about Bray Wyatt or Roman Reigns at this point. All the other matches, I kind of sort of care about one, at least one.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of. Anyway, yeah. The other Hell in the Cell match, guys, Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker. Omega?
This is harder than it should be.
Mm.
I really hate how Undertaker's been booked through this whole thing.
Yeah.
He has been booked pretty crappy right now.
Because he can't get anything done against Lesnar unless he's cheating like a heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes for low blows. He takes advantage of distractions. It's really, really cheap wins that he's getting, and very decisive losses. And yet apparently he's going to be working more for WWE this year. So I'm not sure.
He just worked 3 days in a row.
My God. He put in 3 years worth of work.
That's what I told him. Yep.
Yep.
3 days in a row. 3 years worth. Yep.
I would give this one. No, I would give this one to Lesnar.
Because they booked Undertaker as a chicken shit heel.
They did.
And that's not the Undertaker.
No, it's not. It's bizarre.
He's always been a monster as a heel, not a chicken shit heel.
I think at this point, like, they pushed Lesnar as the juggernaut so hard, they really don't have any other convincing way of beating him.
Nope.
So if you need like a best of three series against these guys, if you want that rubber match, you have to come up with some way. But it's not just that he used a low blow to win the match. He just shamelessly low blows Brock Lesnar every chance he gets. He picks on the manager because he can't, you know, confront Lesnar one-on-one. You know,
and he actually tapped out at SummerSlam, and the only two people who got it were the timekeeper and Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I have to go Lesnar.
Okay, fair enough. Mace.
This should be Lesnar. Straight up and down.
Should. I like how you say that word.
This should be
Lesnar.
You
got something. Yeah, you got something in mind, don't you?
No, it's not so much that. It's I could see them going the route of the Undertaker wins and beats Brock. The only man who can beat Brock is the dead man, the immortal, the one who can beat all. Which then you turn around and go, well, what about fucking WrestleMania? You don't talk about WrestleMania. That never existed. Wipe from the history books. Because that's seriously what it sounds like it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh shit, we shouldn't have had Taker lose to Brock. So now we're going to give him two great matches to do comeback and absolutely trounce Brock. Mm-hmm. But because it's Brock, Brock will still look strong.
Mm-hmm.
That all being said, fuck it, I'm still going Brock Lesnar because it's Brock.
There you go. Okay, so we had
Rock said it as well. The Undertaker's just worked 3 days.
Yeah,
he's going to be tired for the next 6 months.
That'll
be an easy win for Brock.
He wrestled Braun Strowman and Luke Harper for 3 straight days.
Thank you very much for the chuckle, Mace. That was very much appreciated.
Well, old man Taker's going to be tired. He needs a nana nap. Okay.
There you go. Yeah. My question for you guys, okay, let's take a look at it. Undertaker loses at WrestleMania a year and a half ago. The streak has ended. Undertaker wins by devious means at SummerSlam this year, a year and a half later. And so technically they're at 1-1. Can you honestly see maybe this match having some kind of screw up where they are forced to have a fourth one?
No.
No,
not at all.
No. You end it. You end it now. This is the last match. If you put on anything after this, you have just ruined everything that you've done with those two guys.
Absolutely everything.
They've built it as the final encounter.
Uh huh.
So it is going to be the final encounter.
Now, everybody listening,
because they've never gone against that once in a lifetime.
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Everybody listening, just pay attention to what was just said. And I'm picking Brock Lesnar. There you go. Now, this last one here, this is a bit of a sticky situation. We talked about it off the top of the show. I talk about it with Rock over on and off for the past week. I can't remember what happened on Raw Monday night where I was right that I predicted it last Sunday night, and it happened. But something happened. Did it involve Cena? I can't remember. Why? I don't know. Maybe I'm old. John Cena is either going to have a U.S. Open challenge or he's going to face Dolph Ziggler at the pay-per-view. I'm saying that's going to be a match announced tomorrow night by hook or crook, one way or the other. We got Cena versus Ziggler. Just in case it's Cena versus Ziggler, I'm picking Ziggler to win. Mace.
Yeah, Cena wins. And yes, that means Cena goes on a holiday with the belt.
Wow. Okay, something we're in disagreement over, but again, it's WWE. You never can tell. Omega.
Okay. Oh, just remember, you can't hold Cena to the 30-day rule, because how often did Nikki Bella defend her title?
Twice.
in almost 300-odd days? She defended it like 2-3 times? So, no. Yeah, John Cena can fuck off for 3 months with the belt and not have anything happen to him.
Mm, well, okay. Fair enough, Omega.
I would be inclined to agree based on how Lesnar held the world title.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for the fact that it's the U.S. title that is known for being the most defended in the company.
Okay.
Like, even if it's not Cena holding the belt, mm-hmm. there's a stigma to that title.
Mainly thanks to Cena.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, well, thanks to Cena and how he's treated that championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if he's not there, that's what the belt is known for. So, to have it absent for that long is not something you can sweep under the rug.
You just ruined 6 months of build that they put on the belt mm-hmm. if it goes away for 2 months.
Yeah, the whole point of the Open Challenge is to raise the credibility of the U.S. Championship by making it that defended.
And as much as people are bitching and complaining regularly about John Cena is to the point where I'm sick of it, cut it out, stop it, because I don't like you doing that.
you should write a column, Tim.
Yeah, that's where I was going. But some of the best matches we've had this year on Raw has been John Cena's U.S. title open challenge.
Yeah,
and
when
we have had a lot of pay-per-view quality matches on Raw thanks to John Cena and Opponent X. Go ahead, Omega.
Yeah, and if someone takes it off of him, without it being something like title for title, if someone takes it off of him during an actual U.S. Open challenge, it's going to be a huge thing because of that, because we expect Cena to win every single one.
Yeah.
Well, eventually, he's not going to win one of them.
Yeah.
And that's going to make that champion that much better looking for holding that title that no one else could take off after so many attempts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of this kind of build.
Yeah, and I'm calling for the upset, so.
Yeah, with him taking time off, if he's against Ziggler again, yeah, Ziggler's taking that title.
Okay, so there it is. We got two for Ziggler and one for Cena because he's John Cena, because Nikki Bella. And we all know how much pull Nikki Bella has, so she's going to make sure that happens. You see what I did there? Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, that's it. That's what we have for Hell in a Cell, guys and girls. Don't forget, you haven't posted your picks live here. Definitely make sure you email media@wildtalkradio.com or throw it up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. That being said, who's the greatest?
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, won't be freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
All right, Owen Hart turns on the Hart family, or Raw versus SmackDown 2005. Omega.
SmackDown and Raw.
How come?
At the time, those were, because of the brand split, those were big events. I mean, partially to give SmackDown more credibility when they inevitably won. But also, that one also had ramifications long term, because that's the removal of Eric Bischoff. Owen turning on the Harts, Owen going heel, like, okay, this opens up a lot of matches. Him and Brett would have classics, but I found there's more company wide impact to the SmackDown versus Raw matches.
Tim, we'll go to you next.
Well, SmackDown versus Raw 2005, that for all intents and purposes was a big deal, but I never did buy into the brand split because it was the same damn company. And if they had been able to purchase WCW, keep it on TV, WCW owned by WWE, you could actually have brand versus brand, and that would have been something interesting. And I'm sure it's one of those things that coulda, woulda, shoulda, that the fans would have absolutely loved, with SmackDown versus Raw. I always had a hard time with it, and a hell of a lot of stuff went on that just was such a waste. For what it was, yeah, it was good. But overall, it's just my inability to buy into, quote unquote, the brand split. Meanwhile, Owen Hart turning on the entire Hart family, that was huge. Speaking as the youngest of a big family, I have had my ups and downs with my elder siblings, and there have been times where I have just turned my back on them completely, or I have done things contrary just to piss them off because of the way I have felt. So I could relate to Owen that way, at least the character and the storyline and the angle. It spoke to me. It spoke to, the 15, 16, 18, 20-year-old me. Before Owen Hart turning ever was even dreamed up, but still at the same time, that was huge, and it hit close to home, I guess is the best way to put it. So for me, it's Owen Hart turning his back on his family.
So Mace, are you going to break a Canadian's heart?
I quite enjoyed Owen, quote-unquote, turning on the Hart family. I will still attest to this day that it was the family that turned their backs on him.
I love your analysis of that that you gave us, by the way.
I will still swear up and down it was the family turning their backs on him because they decided to favor Brett, who fucked up for the team.
Spoken like somebody who's played the heel.
Yeah.
Not too insider.
at the same time, Raw vs. SmackDown 2005, it was an alright match. The moment that sells it is more the Undertaker's return at the end and Randy Orton shitting his pants with some of the most beautiful facial expressions I've ever seen. Oh. Hey, do it to you, Tim. Go on Raw vs. SmackDown.
No, don't do that. Bad Mace. Go sit in the corner.
Well, you can't buy into the brand split. We can't buy into the heart split.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
See, you just agreed with me. Yes, you can. So overturn his initial pick, Rock, because he just said okay.
That's not how this works. The Raw vs. SmackDown moves on, and the Canadian loses out.
All right. You don't have to point out the fact that Canadian. Fucker.
The debut of The Undertaker versus the breakup of Shawn Michaels and Diesel Mace.
Again, another tough one to decide upon. We have the debut of The Undertaker, very impressive, very intimidating man that he was back then, even with the presence of the Beetroot Red Brother Love. Going up against the breakup of Shawn and Brett, which is absolutely hilarious because you get to see Jeff Jarrett get his ass kicked multiple times and an entire team ejected from a Survivor Series match in one shot.
The breakup of Shawn and who?
Diesel.
There Brett. You go. Correct yourself.
Why would I say?
Brett.
Brett Michaels.
Shawn Michaels and Brett Michaels. They're brothers, yeah. One of them's the singer for Poison. Guess which one? It ain't Shawn. There's your end.
You know what? I'm going with the breakup of Shawn and Diesel. I like the debut of The Undertaker. Yeah, it's great. He's just walking out. Got Brother Love screaming his head off as per usual. Yeah, okay, great.
So you're going out with Bret Michaels?
Yeah, going with Bret Michaels and Kevin Hall, so yeah.
We'll be at the drive-in. Old Man's Ford.
You done now?
No. Behind the bushes, make you go screaming from... Okay,
you know that discussion we had over mute buttons?
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead, move on.
Before we move on.
I'd kind of like to see Stone Cold and Dog fucking Bret Michaels.
There you go.
Oh, thank you very
Jody.
Much. Rest in peace, Jody, man. We miss you. I'm sure there are some people who are listening who are wondering who that was and what we're talking about.
Yeah, but we're not going to explain it for them, so let's just continue on, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, I can't. It's going to be very hard for me to vote against the debut of The Undertaker.
I mean, it's the freaking Undertaker.
It's the freaking Undertaker. It's the history that came after it, and it's the... He was just, like, incredibly imposing and dominant when he can. It wasn't just him walking out with Brother Love. It's the fact that he was putting people away in that match with barely any effort. It wasn't just the fact he was gigantic looking zombie motherfucker. It's the fact that like they were booking him in that match just as this absolute unstoppable force. You know, the only reason that Matt, he didn't just go all the way in that match is because, he chased out Dusty Rhodes, right? He got distracted. I want to say Dusty. He got distracted with somebody and they left the match.
Keep going. I'm researching this. Keep going.
He's researching this.
Yeah, I am. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, Shawn and Diesel breaking up. Okay, that led to some good stuff. Diesel won the world title, immediately after. But that just, I don't know, Shawn just... I don't know, that was a weird period for Shawn. Mm-hmm. It was that and then, the Psycho Sid, because let's run the exact same thing we just ran. I don't know.
And to answer your point, it was Dusty Rhodes.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure my memory is still somewhat there.
I did the research, it is Dusty Rhodes.
Thank you. No, I would... I would put this one to the debut of The Undertaker. Just... There's something about,
It's a cool breakup moment for Sean and Diesel because it was that explosive, which you don't normally get breakups like that. Normally just wait till after the match, hit a finisher on the guy and walk away, and that's your breakup. So it was more eventful that way. It led to some good stuff, but it's the debut of The Undertaker.
And to that point, it took them till WrestleMania to have that match, the first match.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really interesting. But yeah. Yeah, anyway, so 1-1, Tim, break the tie.
Shawn Michaels, Diesel breaking up, and it was all in the middle. That's all fine and dandy, but I still think as far as breakups go, it was Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty that held the bigger deal. So I'm not going to pick them. One of the main reasons I'm picking Undertaker is because, Omega said it's freaking Undertaker. He comes out. Did you, anybody
delusional,
see?
Delusional, all of you.
The kids in the crowd, screaming and crying and freaked out and scared shitless. And all he did was walk to the ring, and the impact he had just on the kids. It was awesome.
That wasn't the Undertaker. They were crying because they saw Brother Love looking like his face was about to explode.
Oh, no, they got used to that because his face always looked like that. So I'm sorry, you're just full of it. And you know what? You didn't pick Owen Hart, so I'm not picking Diesel and Michaels.
Well, delusional. Fucking all of you delusional.
See, I said that for the last one, but you wouldn't listen. So, yeah, the debut of Undertaker.
No, but I'm not getting blinded by the fucking things that happened after. You know, Undertaker, great guy, great entrance, sure. Debut, plain as fuck.
Go write a column about how your opinion's better.
Yeah, you know what? If you don't like it, go on the internet and complain.
I am on the internet. I am complaining. So shut up, Tim, and let me complain.
But that just means it's Sunday night.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, looks like the debut of The Undertaker is moving on for the all-time greatest for this week. Next week's matchups.
Just before I do that, I agree with Mace. It should have been Shawn Michaels and Diesel.
I don't care. You're just the producer.
I know, who doesn't do very much. Anyway.
Hey, is that thing fixed yet, by the way? No.
No, it's not.
Yeah, inside joke, guys. Inside joke.
Really not. Next week on the show, it's Bob Backlund wins the WWF title from Survivor Series 94. Undertaker wins the WWF championship from Hulk Hogan. Victoria wins the women's title in a hardcore title match. Or a hardcore match, rather, and the Montreal Screwjob to finish off round two of the all-time greatest.
Okie dokie. With that being said, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Tim, would you rather have vaginas for ears or penises for fingers?
Either way, I'm fucked. I hate this question. I'm going to do what Mace did and hang up on you.
No.
Yep. Well, if you think about it, ears already have holes, so.
So you'll have vagina ears?
You're not going to call me penis fingers.
Think of it this way. It'll look like an old Vulcan.
Yeah, or a Ferengi.
I don't know, one side of Mick Foley.
You might look like the Grand Nagus, Omega.
Yeah.
It's profit, Clark!
Inconceivable.
Oh, God, these fucking nerds.
Mace, would you rather be itchy for the rest of your life or be sticky for the rest of your life?
What's you sticky from? Penis fingers?
No, but see, it's all... See, itchy would mean I'd be irritating, but at the same time, I know a good back scratcher would really help me. However, there'd be an advantage to being sticky. You know, I could, like, latch myself onto the side of a plane and you know, get a free ride overseas. I could climb up buildings. You know, the only problem is I'd probably stick even worse to a couch.
Don't get a leather one.
Screw it, I'll just be itchy.
Omega, would you rather have taste buds on your butthole or poop through your mouth?
Either way, you're going to be full of shit.
Stop making either way jokes.
Either way.
You know what? No, taste buds on my ass.
Why?
Because I really don't want to brush my teeth that many times a day.
There you go. Two, would you rather eat only roadkill for the rest of your life, or have everyone else in the world sound like Gilbert Gottfried?
What does Gilbert Gottfried sound like?
You don't know what
Gilbert... Have you ever heard a cat...
I know what Gilbert Gottfried sounds like. Affleck!
Gotta be more jewy with that, Tim.
I know. Okay, what was my choices again? Gilbert Gottfried or what?
Eat only roadkill for the rest of your life.
Okay, you're not going to narrow down roadkill so it could be whatever it was? So I could, like, get into my truck and hit a cow, and then I'm good for a month? Okay. Sure. Roadkill.
All right, I'll give you that one. Mace, would you rather smell like eggs when you burp or have a green cloud appear when you fart?
So I'm doing burps that smell like eggs, or I can be, like, you know... video game fighting characters that fart and have green gas cloud. Oh. I'm going with the gas cloud.
Well, wait a second. Does the gas cloud do anything to anybody, or is it just a green gas cloud?
It's a gas cloud. That's all it is.
And it does.
I'm farting green gas. That is awesome. I'm going to go with that.
Is that from eating all those eggs that he's got the green gas cloud?
Yes.
Okay. Just to clarify.
Well, that's even better, because then it's a visual representation of literally toxic gas. Fuck yes!
Here you go.
And finally, Omega, would you rather eat a potato and feel its pain, or be
methane.
Or be a potato?
I really don't want to be a potato. Because if I get eaten, I'll feel the potato's pain anyway.
That's a no-win situation.
Yeah, I'm going to have to feel the potato's pain on this one.
There you go. That's Quick Hits.
Either way, you're French, right? Sorry.
Oh my God. Swear to God, I can't take you anywhere.
There you go. Well, that's it, everybody. Another edition of WTR Sunday Night in the Bucks. Thank you very much for tuning in. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's Right After Wrestling, better known as the Raw Post Show, which is, you know, a boring name for it, with your host, Sir Rockabilly.
The Raw Post Show this Monday night will either be very, very interesting or very, very goddamn you freaking Philadelphia Eagles. Tune in. You never know what you hear. It's because football and wrestling. 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We're all post show.
The odds are good if you don't like the Philadelphia Eagles. You're going to have a good time tomorrow night. There you go. Thursday nights is another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward.
We'll be talking NXT, we'll be talking Hell in a Cell, we'll be talking 25 Years of Destruction. It's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to last week's episode, because it is awesome. We talk football and wrestling. It's a great combination. It's The Rack.
You and your football and wrestling.
I know, right? It's The Rack. Go ahead.
No, never mind. I'll wait.
It's The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Go to RackRadioShow.com, follow the show on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube at Rack Radio Show, and follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward.
There you go. And of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, close as they can get to it. Another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Unusual CB Radio, where they will try to guess songs from the 90s.
So we did last week and last night, and Tim was very much a part of it, because it was his suggestion that we continue on with this 8-minute bit and do it for a long time.
And stretched it to 45 in a bit.
Yeah, we did. CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook at CB Radio Live. The website is CBRadioLive.com. Use the hashtag when a celebrity dies, hashtag blame Rob.
There you go. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. And check me out on Facebook at Facebook.com/menchefs. Just look for Man Kitchen, and you'll find me on the Facebook machine. Hey, Mace, you do like Games Garage. I've seen it.
Yes, you can check out the little video game reviews that I do over at youtube.com/WTR Games Garage. You can also see me rant and rave about video games, and especially corruption and DLC prices being way too high over at theouterhaven.net. And I suppose if you really, really want to, you can follow me on the Twitter machines at TheMacing.
Omega, you got a lot of things going on, and some of it you did earlier tonight to be posted someplace.
Yeah, someplace, somewhere on the internets. Yeah, I keep busy. Over on Facebook, you can see what I'm up to at TJ Reviews. Over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. There's also TJOmega.org, which should hopefully be close to a relaunch. And for most of the content I'm putting out right now, it is over on YouTube at TJ Omega, where there's new content every weekday.
Awesome stuff. Hey, don't forget, programming note, everybody, 1 hour later next week, thanks to the pay-per-view Hell in a Cell. Join us 9 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Eastern, as we review what took place inside the cell from hell. That being said, thanks for tuning in. Have yourselves an absolutely wonderful week, and we'll catch you next Sunday night.